as a family, now that Thanksgiving is behind us, we have set our sights firmly on Christmas. You know the song, I Need a Little Christmas Right This Very Minute? More than last year, my wife and I both feel like, man, we can't wait for Christmas this year. So we've already started celebrating, already started decorating, already started watching some of our favorite Christmas movies and shows. And we decided this year what we were going to do is spend most of our Christmas season watching some of the shows and movies that we really love with the theme of Christmas in them. So we'll be watching over the next few weeks some of the more well-known holiday movies. It's a Wonderful Life, Charlie Brown Christmas, Christmas Carol, stuff like that. But we also have a few that are a little off the beaten path. Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, Year Without a Santa Claus, the Heat Miser Snow Miser edition, love that one. The Greatest Christmas Pageant Ever. A few years ago, if you remember, we as a church did that as a play, and that was an absolute blast. We're going to be watching that one for sure. There's a scene in that movie where the director of the play, The Greatest Christmas Pageant Ever, as she is directing that play, she's explaining to the kids in the play that Mary was pregnant. And one of the girls in the play has issue with that terminology. She feels like that terminology is a little disrespectful. She's very prim and proper, and to call Mary pregnant, she prefers that we say that Mary was great with child, because that's the way the King James Version says it, right? And that sounds much more godly, doesn't it? She was great with child, as opposed to she was pregnant. The kid in the play feels like that Mary was pregnant just sounds a little too earthy, a little too earthly for her liking. So various Bible translations say that Mary was with child. Some say she was great with child. Some say she was pregnant. Some say she was expecting. I find that last one kind of interesting, especially in light of Mary's circumstances, that she was expecting. She was certainly expecting. But she was not expecting to be expecting. Right? This whole thing came as a shock to her. The whole situation, the circumstances she was walking through, everything that God brought her way were certainly not what she was expecting. This came as a total surprise, complete shock, out of nowhere. She had no clue. This was a completely unexpected event. Life's going one way, and then all of a sudden, it turns and takes a whole different route. Right, here she is, she's engaged, she's getting ready to be married. Next thing she knows, she receives a message that she will be pregnant, and then she has to go with Joseph to some faraway town to be counted for a census. That's not what she was looking for. That's not what she asked for. It's not what she thought was going to happen. It's not at all what she planned. It's not at all what she expected. And life is like that, isn't it? Life is like that. Life doesn't always go the way we planned it. Sometimes life gives us things that we didn't ask for. Sometimes our path takes a different route. Sometimes life doesn't always go as we'd expect. Reality, unexpected things happen to us all the time. Sometimes they're beautiful and wonderful. Right? They're too good to be true sometimes. And other times, the unexpected things that come into our lives are hard. They're tough to deal with. They're difficult. They can be painful. They're hard to adjust to. In a lot of ways, every day you've been given is like an unopened box. Like, you don't know what's inside until you open it. You have no idea what today is going to bring. You have no idea what today has in store for you until you open it up. You have no idea what today contains. You have no idea what's inside of it and what the day will bring. And that reality can bring you fear or hope. It can make you very anxious, or it can cause in you a great deal of anticipation. It can take your breath away with anxiety, or it can take your breath away with anticipation. How do you look at the box that God has given you? With fear or with faith? We're going to spend this Advent season looking at all of the various unexpected things that happened that first Christmas, and there were a ton of them. And we're going to look at how people responded to all these unexpected things that were happening. But in so doing, I hope that you see that God is always working, even in the midst of the surprises, even in the midst of the unexpected events that come your way. As I kind of started penciling out this series, this question came to me that I just kept asking myself over and over again. Why do we expect things to go the way we expect them to go when life has taught us that they rarely do? Amen. Like, why do we have this like expectation that life is going to go the way I think it's going to go? When the reality is, life has proven to us over and over again that that rarely happens. Part of what I hope as we go through this series is I hope we get to answer that question. Why is it that we expect things that maybe we shouldn't expect? In Luke chapter 1, we meet a woman by the name of Elizabeth, and she is married to a priest by the name of Zechariah. And we read this about them in Luke chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless, because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. So Elizabeth is unable to conceive. She's barren. She's infertile. She's unable to have children. And on top of that, she is too old to have children, and so is Zechariah. So I don't want to say that they had little expectation of having kids at this point. They had no expectation of having kids at this point. Right? That boat has long sailed. That boat is sailed way past the horizon. So I don't know what their expectations really were. On the one hand, I would say they had no expectations, but the way Luke writes this, I think there was an expectation. The way Luke writes this here, they were righteous in the sight of God. They were upstanding and good people. They did everything God asked. They were blameless. They followed all of his commands. They observed all of his decrees. Surely God would reward that faithfulness by being faithful back to them and giving them what they want in a kid, right? They were expecting, or at least Luke is suggesting, that it would have been quite normal for them to expect to have children. Why would that have been their expectation? Because that's the way this works, right? I do what God wants. I'm blameless. I'll follow all the Lord's commands, all the Lord's decrees. I do what God wants, and in turn then, he will do what I want. That's the way we think. Maybe some of our expectations of life are misguided and birthed out of some really bad theology and bad ways of thinking. Maybe some of our expectations about the way life should go are not what we should expect to expect. But Elizabeth, at this point, has no reason to expect anything now. And Luke makes that point clear with his triple negative. She is barren, she is too old, and he is too old. They are 0-for-3 in the can we still have kids department. But then something unexpected happens. As the priest, Zechariah is in the temple performing his responsibilities and duties, an angel of the Lord appears to him in verses 12 and 13. When Zechariah saw him, the angel, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John." So whether or not they expected to have children, you get the idea here that somehow, some way, they still hoped to have children. They were still praying for that. It says here that the angel said that God had heard that prayer and that they would have a son, which is certainly not what they were expecting, not at this age, and not with their history, but it was what they were hoping for. And look at what it says this kid's going to do, verses 16 and 17. This kid that they are going to have, he will bring back many of the people to Israel, to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This kid is going to prepare hearts. He is going to prepare people for the coming of Jesus, the coming of the Messiah, the Christ. Can you imagine being a priest and receiving this news? That your son is going to be the one that will prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah. Can you imagine being a priest in the temple hearing this news? Can you imagine being a priest in the temple hearing from an angel of the Lord this news? This is not a typical day at the office for Zechariah. And I would think, as a priest, and I'm not a priest, I'm just saying, I would think him as a priest in the temple receiving a message from the Lord through an angel, like, I would think that would be all you would need to believe that it was true. But apparently you need more, because Zechariah is having a tough time believing that God can do this. This is what he says in verse 18. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." He says, how can you be sure? I'm thinking, how can you be sure? I would think a message from God through an angel in the temple to a priest, that would be enough to make me sure. But apparently, that's not the case. For some reason, Zechariah is still questioning whether or not God can really do this. So the angel's like, okay, you want authentication? How about this? He goes on to say in verses 19 and 20. The angel says to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news." Like, I'm authenticating this. I'm the angel in the presence of God. Like, God has sent me direct to you to give you this message. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. So Zechariah will not be able to now speak until the child is born. Now remember, Elizabeth's not even pregnant yet, so it is going to be a while before we hear from Zechariah again verbally. Here's what verses 23 through 25 say. When his time of service was completed, and typically the priest would do a week or two, so it was probably just a few days after that visit from Gabriel that this unfolds. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. And after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." So just a few days after Gabriel's visit, he goes home, she becomes pregnant, and she recognizes that this indeed is a work of God, because she's too old, he's too old, she's unable to conceive, yet at the same time, here she is, great with child. And she recognizes this is a work of God. And remember too, in this culture, being childless carried with it a significant social stigma. People looked upon that as a judgment from God. People looked at that as evidence of divine disfavor, which was certainly not always the case, but that's the way people looked at it. And with this social stigma came humiliation, and that's why she says, "In this day the Lord has taken the disgrace among my people away." God did the impossible and brought life to a barren woman and took away her shame. It was totally unexpected, hoped for, prayed for, but not expected. Not anymore, not at this age, not at this point, not with their history. But life can break through in the craziest of places when God is at work. Amen. Said a different way, life can break through in some of the most unexpected places, in some of the most unexpected ways, at some of the most unexpected times, in some of the most unexpected people, when God is at work. There are plenty of areas in our own lives where we look at it and think, there's no life there. There's no sign of life. There's no evidence of life. There's no hope of life. Where we have little or no expectation for any life to break through at all, right? It's been too long. My history says otherwise. The boat's too far gone. It sailed way past the horizon. We're way past the point of no return. No life can ever come there. Elizabeth and Zechariah not only had little expectation of children, they had no expectation in terms of having children. But what they did have was hope. Hope that God could do something miraculous in their lives. And then God brought life to a barren place. To a place where there was no life, had been no life, looked for sure like there wouldn't ever be life, where there seemed to have no hope for life, God brought forth life. Do you think God can still do that today? Bring forth life in places that look dead. Bring forth life in your barren places. To bring life to your dry land, where there's been no life, where there is no life. There are barren places in all of our lives where the expectation of life is not there, where you have little or no expectation to see life, right? It's been too long. It'll never happen there, not with him, not with her, not with us, not with me. It's been too long, too far. I've been this way too long. He'll never change. I'll never get over that. And you might think that there's no chance. And you might think that there's no hope. And you might think life can never happen there. And you might be dead wrong. God brings life in unexpected places, at unexpected times, and in unexpected ways. This season reminds us of that over and over again, that God can do anything. Any time, anywhere, any place, with anybody. Even there. Even that place where you say, there is no hope for life there. God can bring life there too, where you'd least expect it to happen. The impossible situation that lays before you, where you see no evidence of life at all, you think there could never be life there. Do you look at that with faith or fear? With anxiety or expectation? With hopelessness or hopefulness? With prayerlessness or prayerfulness? In that situation, do you expect nothing to happen? Or do you expect that God can do the unexpected? And that though life may not have gone the way you thought it was going to go, and though his plans may be different than yours, he can still bring life right to where you are now. We're going to see as we go through this series, listen, God is in the business of doing things that man thinks is impossible. During Jesus' ministry, if you remember, he was approached by a rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler asked Jesus, Jesus, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus says to the man, it's simple, man. Just sell everything you have, give that all to the poor, and come and follow me. And we're told that that rich man became very sad because he had many possessions. And he walked away. And then we're told that Jesus turns to the disciples and basically says to them, man, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom. And the disciples are there confused and amazed. Like, if this guy can't get in, who obviously, if he's rich, God's blessings are upon. If this guy can't get in, then who can be saved? And Jesus replies like this, Matthew 19:26, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. With God all things are possible. All things. All. In the original language, that's a very encompassing word that means all. All things are possible with God. All things. Even that. Who then can be saved? Anyone. Yeah, even her. Even him. Even you. Even though you see no life, even though it looks barren and infertile, God can still bring life there too. See, in Elizabeth, God did the impossible. He brought life to a barren woman and removed her shame. And he wants to do the same for you. Bring life to your barren place and remove all shame. Right? We who are dead in sin can come to God and receive new life. We who are dead, infertile, barren, we have nothing. We can come to God. And God can pour into us new life, abundant life, eternal life, and we can have our shame before God removed because of the gift that he gave us that first Christmas, the gift of his son, Jesus. That may very well be the unexpected gift that God wants you to open this year. New life in him through Jesus. You know this to be true. We're going to see it quite evident as we go through the Christmas narrative. Life does not always go as you would expect. It doesn't always go as you would plan. The path might be different than you thought it was going to be. The circumstances not what you thought they were going to be. But God knows that, and he can bring life to you right now, right where you are, wherever you are, even in your barren place, your dry and weary land, because nothing is impossible for God. Just ask Elizabeth.